Luke chapter 8. I want to look at this woman for just a minute and what it was. Pages of the Bible. Y'all hear that? You don't hear that anywhere but in the church house. That's a good sound. I love to hear them. No other sound on earth like the pages of the Bible being turned. If y'all will stand with me just a second. Luke chapter 8, we'll begin our reading tonight in verse number 43. Luke chapter 8, verse number 43. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood staunched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." When the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." Lord, we pray that you'd give us an understanding of your word tonight. Lord, move on our hearts, God. That's why we're here. Lord, we've come to see you tonight, to hear from heaven tonight, God, to be changed tonight. Lord, for you to do a work in our hearts. All these things we pray in Jesus' name, by his precious blood we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen and amen. You may be seated. As I looked at this woman, I thought about how that she had come to Jesus through a great tragedy in her life. She was a type of the bride of Christ. We know that in the book of Revelation it says, "And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife." Here she is, a bride, and I want to look at her in light of the bride of Christ, but she's got an issue. She's got a problem that has gotten bigger than she is. I know that many of us tonight have problems, but then there's another case where people have issues, where things that were minor became major in such a way that it seems like that it's about to bring you down, that it's about to take you apart, that it seems like that it will not stop until you've gotten to the place to where you don't even think you can go anymore. Can I get an amen? Amen. We've all had problems that turned into issues, and then there are times whenever there was seemingly no problem, and all of a sudden the little demon of anxiety jumps out of hell and runs right through your soul, and you're all in a tither about nothing and don't know even why that you got where you are, but there's no denying that it's real. Amen. And anxiety can attack a person in such a way that it becomes an issue in a moment's notice, and then all of a sudden everything was going fine, and now then everything's not fine anymore because for no reason I'm worried about everything and I don't know what to do about it. And I know that anxiety, depression, these things are issues in people's lives, and many times even in my own life we all have to deal with that at different times. This woman had been through all of that for 12 long years. She'd been separated from her family. The old law during that time would not allow her legally to come around even her own children. What a terrible tragedy that this woman's had in her life. She's lived all this time, the bride and her barrenness. Oh, she wasn't able to have any children anymore. And I've been in those churches where you preach the message, and I'm glad that it's not like that at Union Chapel, but it seemed like that if a Jersey cow come walking in the back door, that she'd be squirting out milkshake before she got down to where it'd be that cold on the inside. But it's not that way here at Union Chapel. I love worshiping with y'all. Can I get an amen tonight? I love to worship the Lord where people love to worship. This woman had been barren for 12 years, but not only that, she'd been broken. The Bible said that she'd spent all her money on physicians and could not be healed of any. And she had gone her entire life working in her own flesh and doing what she could do in order that she might get better. And then this one here couldn't be helped by her own daddy. Only the Lord could help her, but she would call on other physicians that might be able to touch her. And then finally, this woman, this type of the bride of Christ, winds up coming up behind him, shamed as she was, and goes to where he is, and then she begins to touch the border of his garment. Boy, I'm so thankful that you don't have to go all the way to heaven and walk through the pearly gates in order to get to where he is. But you can just get your fingertip on just a little bit of him. It'll be all right. Amen. The Lord has the power to be able to do that. We know that she was there and thought about how that she had worked and tried to do it on her own, but she's not the only one that tried to do it on our own. We all have done that. I tried to get saved on my own. I wanted to be able to work enough around the church house. I stayed in the church for 4 years before I came to the end of Andy and the beginning of God. I worked and I did everything around the church house. I testified. I sang in the choir. I spread the gravel. I planted the shrubs. I cooked the sausage for the brotherhood. I made homemade biscuits. I did everything that I knew to do. And every time that I did just a little bit of work, I felt like I was going to be okay. Every time I did a good deed, I thought maybe I've shrugged it off, and somehow or another, all the bad that I'd done all my life was now going to finally, all my good is on the other side, and somehow God's going to accept me because I'm finally doing better than I used to do. That fella's got a real problem. Because you'll die and go to hell without God. Because you'll never do good enough in order to make it in. And all of God's people said, this woman finally gets to the hem of his garment. And whenever I see that in verse number 42, the Bible says, verse number 46, excuse me, and Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. Now, whenever they're coming through Capernaum there that day, they'd left the Sea of the Galilee and they were going to Jairus' house. And there they were in a throng and in a press of people, and people were everywhere, and people were, this word press, it means that the crowd was all over him. It means that they pressed him in such a way that there was times that he needed to go down a street this way, and they'd actually have him pushed off to the side. That throng, that word means that they funneled him into places and he had to take steps that he didn't need to take. He was going to Jairus' house, but these people were all around it, and they're wanting to touch him. And this woman's not the only one in the crowd that's come to the Lord that day. They knew that he had that healing power. They're all wanting to touch him. They're all trying to get his close as they can. They're all trying to get to where Jesus is, but all of a sudden the Lord says, somebody had touched me. And he turns, Mark records it in his gospel, that he actually turned in the crowd and looked at where she was at. This busy Christ, he's proceeding to help a 12-year-old, but here the shortest sermon, and boy, I wish I could preach one that short, who touched me? And that was all it was to it. And then all of a sudden they started giving an invitation. Somebody touched the Lord. Who was it that touched him? Come right up. Come right up. Come right up. I mean, all he had to say was three words. I wish I had that kind of power whenever I was preaching, or had that kind of wisdom just to be able to say a little bit and give an invitation. Amen. And here they are. But the disciples are not having any luck. Nobody wants to say, I did it. Everybody's saying, I didn't touch. And then they look around and say, everybody's denied. Lord, what do you mean? Everybody's touching you. Why do you think that? What is that? He said, I felt a virtue gone out of me. Man, what? What? The one that created virtue, the one that has limitless virtue, the one that has more power than there ever has been known, the one that whenever His power comes to earth, heaven is not depleted in it. Heaven still has as much power. There's grace upon grace upon grace. The storehouse of grace never is depleted whenever God sends grace your way. He does not look around in heaven and say, oh my, what am I going to do? We're running out. No. He gives us according to His riches in glory. Not out of His riches in glory, but according to what's there, He creates it fresh and anew for you as you walk along life's way. Oh, the virtue has gone out. I wonder whenever it left her, what if it left him and he knew it went out of him, what did it feel like it when it went into her? Whoa! I mean, she knew right away that everything was all right. Amen. Her problems were over with because the Lord had finally touched her. I'm telling you, she knew from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet that it was going to be all right. There wasn't any worries in her mind anymore. All the anxiety suddenly went out the door. The depression was gone. And for 12 years, she'd been looking for this. And thank God, she finally found it. Amen. The Scripture says in Mark that the Lord turned. I was really taken back by that. The Lord turned around, Mark 5:30, turned him around in the press. Now you got to realize that it never had happened before. The New Testament's not even written yet. It's happening, but it's not on paper. They've got the old Scriptures, and God's always been behind the veil. That's right. They traveled in the wilderness, and the Ark of the Covenant held the Shekinah glory of God. And they could back up in the camp, and they could see a cloud in the day and a pillar of fire by night. But only once a year, one high priest would go in. And they said they'd tie a rope onto the end of him in case that he were to go in unworthy. They'd have to drag his dead body back out. And even then, he never even got to see the glory of God face to face. Moses up on the mountain, a cloud went around him in such a way that there were the tables and God wrote it out. But Moses didn't get to see. Moses begs later, God, let me see you. I want to see your glory. And God put him in the cleft of the rock and came by and he'd said he just saw his hinder parts. Well, I think about Elijah and many others that wanted to see God. And Elijah said it wasn't in the thunder, it wasn't in the lightning, it wasn't in the fire, it wasn't in the wind, it was in a still small voice, but he did not get to see the face of God. And then all of a sudden we have him in Bethlehem as a babe in a manger, and some shepherds show up one day. The light, the star, the glory that was in the sky is now coming out of the stall in a barn outside of the city of Jerusalem there in Bethlehem. But still, this is the first time I've ever read in Scripture where God stops and turns around. Just because a woman that needed Him so stops and turns around. I thought, why hadn't He done that before? Why did in the Old Testament for the sin? Multiple sacrifices over and over and over. Another calf, another lamb, another turtle dove, another one of this, another one of that. Another sin came, and the sacrifice wasn't sufficient for all of them. So they had to bring another sacrifice and another sacrifice and another sacrifice and another sacrifice. And God couldn't look on their sin. He couldn't look at them. But all of a sudden now, the New Testament has come. And there's another lamb on the scene, amen. It's not just a lamb that was born in the, outside of Bethlehem in the shepherd's field down there. It's the Son of God. It is the imminent lamb that was supposed to come from the beginning of time. The plan was laid out. The God-man has come. Jesus Christ, the spotless lamb of Almighty God, now is on the earth. And guess what? The sacrifice is greater than the sin. Amen. Woo! It's now sufficient. Jesus, the Lamb of God. John declared it whenever he stepped out of the bush with camel hair on that day. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Woo! I'm so glad. The face of God came to earth, and now we know that this busy Christ has stopped and turned around to help this woman. And not only will he help her, but there'll be millions that will come. And he helped each one of us. I don't know why you came. I know a few of you and why you came, but there are all kind of stories here tonight about God bringing you to where he is, and in eternity. And there you were, face to face with Christ, my Savior. Face to face, how can it be? Face to face in all his glory, Jesus Christ, who died for me. I'm so glad that Jesus Christ came. Now, I'm not struggling with it. Hey, whenever he died on Calvary, whenever he said it is finished, them boys down there on the other side of Bethlehem that had been raising them lambs all of their lives, and they would always sell them good ones for sacrifices and get top dollar for them. I'm telling you, them boys is in trouble, because there's no need to give any lambs for sacrifices anymore, because the Lamb of God died on the cross of Calvary. When he said it is finished, them boys had to take it literally. This job's over with. Boy, we better find us another occupation. I want to close tonight. We've looked at the bride, the Christ, and his bride, the Christ and his busyness, but I want to look at the Christ and his blessing in verse number 47. It's, hey, I want you to sing that song again. Come on up here. The scripture says in verse number 47, when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came. Read this with me. What was she doing? Trembling. And falling down before him, she declared unto him. She did three things. First one was she was trembling. It's a sure sign that her emotional part of her being had been moved. Some of the smart guys call it a psyche. But us country folks, we just call it soul. But it's the seat of emotion. It's where wisdom's laid out. Plans and designs are made. White-tailed deer don't have that. They just have fear or something. You got a soul. You have the ability to learn, put an alphabet together, to know how to read, know how to write. God made you special because he made you like him. Body, mind, spirit. The mind, the soul, the psyche. It's all the same thing. She was moved there. Her soul had been touched in such a way that she's trembling. Her physical body is now in because she's what? I've seen a lot of people that'll get in physically and bodily. But there's another aspect. God made you in His image. You got a heart. We call it a spirit. And when your spirit and God's spirit come together and He gets in your heart, you are forever different. That's what allows you entrance through the pearly gates. That's why you get to go in, is because He came into you. Not because of what you did, but because of what He did. And then He comes and meshes in your heart. I told him one time, it's like taking an oak stick and a pine stick out of the fire and putting a smoke together. And God be the big oak and you be the little pine. But whenever them smokes go together up in the air, you can't undo that. You can't separate that. You can't stop that. Once it's done, it's done. Yes. This woman is trembling. She's falling down and she's declaring. Romans chapter number 10. Help me just a little bit now. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth then confession is made unto salvation. This woman got Jesus in her heart that day. He became a part of her spirit that day, and she will be in heaven when we get there. Amen. Wow! And by the way, if it didn't happen with you like that, you need to come to Jesus tonight, because that's the only way anybody's going to get in. Y'all stand with us tonight.